Here's why Wyoming Senator John Barrasso opposes the law of the sea.
I look at a significant loss of sovereignty and loss of revenue for the United States. That's the way I've read it.
That's a pretty stock view of the treaty these days from Senate Republicans. And it's puzzling to veteran Indiana Republican Richard Lugar. He's the top Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee and has seen it stall twice in recent years. Every committee member voted for it in 2004, and only four opposed it in 2007. So, to Lugar, is the sovereignty argument gaining traction?
I frankly don't know. I think there are a number of think tanks and other groups right now that are not in favor of international treaties, and they have apparently persuaded a number of members to cede to their wishes.
One of those think tanks is the influential Heritage Foundation. Just blocks from the Capitol, it pushes conservative causes in Congress. And it helped craft the letter of opposition that dozens of Republicans signed on to. Stephen Groves works on international law at Heritage.
You know, we don't want to be exposed to baseless international lawsuits that violates our sovereignty. We don't want to have to share the wealth of our own continental shelf with the developing world under terms that we can't control. That's a violation of our sovereignty.
And you hear that very refrain circulating through Republican ranks in the Senate. Idaho Senator Jim Risch says he's actually read the 200-plus page treaty, and one provision jumps out at him more than the rest, one that he says would force the U.S. to accede to international environmental agreements, both current and future.
Meaning that if you sign this, you're binding yourself to Kyoto and all kinds of other unknown future treaties.
The Kyoto Protocol is a binding UN agreement to cut greenhouse gas emissions. The U.S. has not signed on to it.
I was the United States ambassador in negotiating it.
It being the law of the sea. That's John Norton Moore. We'll let him introduce himself.
Appointed by Ronald Reagan as a member of the National Advisory Committee on Oceans and Atmosphere. I basically worked under and served under and followed the instructions of three Republican presidents. And I find myself astounded at why my party is in opposition to the treaty.
As the United States negotiator on the treaty, he's an ardent supporter of ratification. And he says his party is running a war of misinformation on hot-button issues, like environmental ones, issues that rally the party faithful. Moore says the claim that the law of the sea would force the U.S. into the Kyoto Protocol is an outright lie. Another concern, that the United States would have to share its revenues with other countries, he says, is a misrepresentation at best. By signing the treaty, the United States would secure a bargaining spot at the International Seabed Authority.
And that seat on the council carries a blocking vote ability over a number of issues, including amendments, including rules and regulations, and including distribution of funds.
In Moore's words, the U.S. would win more access to minerals than any other country in the world. And yet opponents say the gains just are not worth giving up the rights and freedoms.
I respect that view. I don't think that that's the case, or I think it can be fixed to ensure that that's not the case.
Arizona Senator John McCain says he wants the treaty to pass, though in his words, it's dead for now. And Groves, who is organizing the opposition, says there is no way the treaty could be amended to address the sovereignty concerns. But there is a sign that when the treaty does return, the opposing arguments may be a bit more nuanced. Ohio Senator Rob Portman, who's reportedly on the shortlist to be the Republican vice presidential pick, released his own letter of opposition with more specific concerns.
The litigation risk to the United States outweighs some of the potential benefits. And I think we've been able to work out on a bilateral basis in terms of the Arctic, for instance, with Russia, with Canada. Good arrangements.
Meaning the U.S. doesn't need the treaty. We can work with countries directly, like the U.S. has done with Canada and Mexico over claims to the outer continental shelf. Supporters will not let it die. And the list of them is long, including all the living former Republican secretaries of state. With Arctic drilling set to begin in earnest soon, mixed with the prospect of a Senate with even fewer moderates next year, advocates say now is a better time than ever to ratify the treaty. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.